Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. I am Paul Machin. This is John Machin. We are in Madrid Airport. Liverpool won the European Cup last night for the sixth time. In case you haven't got onto that, there might be a couple of people who are just waking up.
Can't count beyond the one hand.
Well, yeah, it's tough now. We're going to have to figure this whole thing out. I now can't hold my phone and gesture how many European Cups we've won. How are you feeling?
Tired.
Yes.
Apart from anything else, I must look wrecked. Little sleep, it wasn't too much alcohol, it was just not enough sleep.
Yeah, I was the same. I was like, I said to you this morning, it was like 3:30 this morning, I was still editing, and it was going to take another hour and a half for the video to upload, and that meant it was like at that point I was 2.5 hours till I had to get up, so I went to bed, let it upload, and finished the rest this morning. Let's go back to the game, because obviously it was so raw last night. Has it sunk in yet?
I think just about, yeah. When it's... Maybe not. Thinking about it, I mean, I think, and you look around, we've met people since this morning, and everyone knows we've now won it six times, but you know, I still need to process it. I haven't seen any of it since, I haven't seen any of the highlights or anything, so I'm looking forward to that. I'm going to enjoy sitting down and watching the game.
While waiting for the video, I sat and watched the highlights back last night, and to get a penalty that early on, it was such a mad day because the build up was so long. I mean, incredible. Obviously, we went to the fan park, the boss night stuff, which was absolutely something else. But you get in there, and the anticipation builds, and the nerves start to kick in a little bit when the game's a reality. We're 30 seconds in, and we've got a pen.
Absolutely, yeah. And it did help to settle everyone down, didn't it? Well, settled both the players and the supporters down, I think. Almost all the supporters I spoke to felt like I did, that we were going to win.
Yeah.
They really were very convinced. And I think scoring so early, whereas normally you'd think, oh, God, that is a bit too early. It's a long way to go, and you don't want the players thinking that the game's going to be easy. But they didn't. They sort of settled into their game and definitely outplayed Tottenham in the first half.
It was bizarre because the second we went 1-0 up, I felt confident because I think our game plan was always very much to absorb Tottenham and just do what we've been doing for the vast majority of this season, is just soak it up, soak the game up, soak the atmosphere up, take the sting out of it, slow it down. And you could see that the amount of the players just do it like they just to slow it down, calm it down, gesture. But like Liverpool doing that, but also getting a goal is Klopp's perfect plan, I think. And sometimes it doesn't work out in our favour. But as a fan, that thing I struggled with is we had something to lose once we
That's true. But I mean, you have to remember that we've now gone a whole season and we've only been beaten in one game by an English team.
Yeah.
You know, so it did take the edge off a little. Knowing that how good we were against English teams, knowing that we were 1-0 up, you know, and certainly at half time, I thought, I know they're going to come out strong in the second half. But I really didn't see how they could change it up so much. Yeah. And even at the end of that, with four forwards on the pitch, didn't they?
Yeah.
And they still couldn't break us down. You know, and now you see the benefit of having Alisson in goal. You know, you couldn't get two bigger contrasting goalkeeping performances. Than last year's Carrius and this year's Alisson.
Because they had that spell with about 20 minutes to go where they kind of went for it and they were on top and they knew their best chances all came in that period. And Alisson makes, I think, one really, really good save from the free kick. He makes probably two or three saves in total. A couple of moments when he's catching stuff and, you know, commanding the full breadth of his area. And you're dead right. Michael, immediately watching that, I was like, this is it. This is the difference. This is what it feels like to have a guy. When this is why you go and spend £70 million on a goalkeeper and don't bat an eyelid at it. Because, and I said this immediately after the match, we've effectively, I know there's other people to, you know, there's a team ethic, all these things going on. Alisson, we nearly bought the league, and we bought the European Cup by having, because the goalkeeper was, as you say, was ended up being the difference.
Yeah. We shouldn't forget though, during that period when they created chances, we created chances as well. And I thought that Milner shot was in. Yeah. I was so convinced it was going inside the post. Yeah. Obviously, just missed.
It's interesting because I think you're right. That as much as they had their spells, because they were pouring on us. And it's funny because Divock Origi ends up being the hero again. But it was a proper Divock Origi performance. There's two moments, I think, at least two, to slide Salah and Mane in, and he fluffs the pass.
He hits the pass, yeah.
And you know, we've seen that from before, and we were set up to counter by that point. You know, the game was in our hands. We could have, and I think I felt strongly that with about 15 to go, if we hit them on the counter, if we got that extra goal, if we got that other goal, we probably would win it 3-0.
Yeah.
But it took, obviously, it took a little bit longer to actually get it.
And of course, you know, the one really big chance that came our way went in, and that was game over.
That was.
And Origi now, he's scored the most amazing goals this season.
Yeah.
It's all of them, you know, really important, crucial goals.
Well, that, you know, I look at it, and, you know, Spurs are bringing Fernando Llorente on. I mean, look, he's had an impact for them this season. He's probably, I wouldn't know his goal title, so I wouldn't speculate, but I can't imagine it's too far different from Origi's. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about the quality of Liverpool's front three, and I've been saying for ages, get an extra guy. We definitely need another extra guy in there. Difficult. To talk about getting a new contract, I would, because look at him, he's big, he's pace, he's powerful, he's, that was on his left foot, you know,
but he's always known to, I mean remember we've been on about it before when he scored that hat trick at Southampton.
Yeah.
And he looked good in the air, he looked good on his left and he looked good on his right, and he looked the complete forward.
Yeah.
And then everything went completely to pot.
Yeah.
And he became the player who we all thought we really wanted to shut up.
Everyone talks about the stories, and I want to talk about Jordan Henderson in a second. But Divock Origi's story is incredible. We mentioned it earlier in the season after the derby, because there was vindication there, because of, you know, Everton was where he ended his season in the Europa League campaign when Funes Mori fouls him. But, you know, it cost him the Europa League. You know, he wasn't fit. We just got him back in time for the final, and he couldn't have the impact. And his career hasn't recovered since. You know, I think we were all thinking about what it might mean for like an Oxlade-Chamberlain if he came into this game. But Divock Origi, he went on loan to Wolfsburg last year. Didn't have a great time of it for various reasons. And he could have moved. Apparently, he could have gone to Wolves in the summer. Chose to stay and fight for his place. And Dad, you know, yes, he didn't win the league for us, but he come bloody close.
Yeah,
and he's
yeah.
just won us the European.
Well, you know, I was talking to someone a week or so ago saying, you know, I think. Sturridge will be going, and Origi, we don't really know where he's at. We probably need another forward, even if Brewster's coming through. And you know, basically, we came to the conclusion that Origi was, you know, a good sub.
Yeah,
he was good, and it was a good player to have in your squad.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and it's up to him whether he makes himself more than that.
Yeah.
But that's the least he needed to do to get a contract.
But this is the difference now. Like last year, we had nothing. Nothing on the bench whatsoever. And I know we had 12 subs this time, which makes a difference. But, you know, look at the players we didn't bring on. We didn't need Oxlade-Chamberlain, we didn't need Sturridge.
I looked up at one of the screens when they were getting their medals as they come through, and I saw Lallana.
Yeah.
I thought, well, I've forgotten all about him.
Yeah. You know, there's a 20-odd million-pound player that we, you know, and that's
well,
the
2 years ago or so, before he got his bad injuries, we all thought he was the bee's knees. We thought he was the best thing we had.
Yeah.
And you know, now we can do without him completely, and he's going to move on with the summer.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing we talked about in the build-up to this, is about the quality. 2 minutes, mate. The quality that we had on the bench. What, you know, our worst players. were actually some of our best players in years gone by, and that's how you improve a squad. You don't buy, you know, dross. You don't buy people to fill your squad out. The players who were your first team players become your backups. And all of a sudden, you know, like, and that's why Divock Origi stands out, because he's the one who's Daniel Sturridge is physically, I think he's done. I think Lallana's physically done. I think maybe you could argue that Lovren's with something, maybe his immune system.
I've never been fussed with Lovren, but you know, he's got a lot of experience, and I think it's just down to him. Does he want to stay or does he want to go?
But what I'm kind of driving at is that those players all, I think we're reaching the end of their usefulness, whereas Origi could be on that list, and yet look at him, he actually looks in his prime. Now he looks ready for the big occasion. I want to talk before we wrap up that about Jordan Henderson. There's just no more. You see all the videos of him hugging his dad, and well, crying with Klopp.
Yeah, yeah.
I wanted this for him.
I hated him when he first came. His first season with Kenny, I thought he was terrible. But he played him out on the wing for some reason. But after that, you know, I thought he's always done a very good job. And I've told the story before about when I listened to one of our games on the radio. And at the end, I was saying, where the hell was Henderson? I never heard his name once. And then I watched the highlights of the full game later on. And he was touching the ball all the time. It's just that he moved the ball on so fast.
Yeah.
The commentators never got a chance to mention it. And his involvement in games is unbelievable. The energy he puts in, the amount of ground he covers is phenomenal. But they're not the kind of skills that people like.
That can be done with fake praise sometimes as well, can't it?
People either don't notice it or don't care about it. And I think it's only since he asked to move forward, and he's been allowed to do that, that people have begun to see what his quality is.
He's earned that European Cup. You know, he's been the most maligned.
Well, he's been under Gerrard's shadow, and you know you can't follow Steven Gerrard. You know, it's a thankless task.
Well, Dad, he's been in as many European Cup finals, and he's won as many European Cups and lifted as many European Cups.
Yeah, and he'll still never be seen in the same light as Steven Gerrard. And yeah. I think an awful lot of his detractors will now think, no, this guy's got Liverpool in his heart.
What more could he have done? Because you're right, the second he got out of that number six role, the second he was allowed to play his own game, he's been flawless. I think, and again, all the heroic Herculean efforts, actually you can start to use that as a thing to praise him, because he's got the skills and he's impacting games as well. You know, defensively, offensively, you know, linking the attack. There's one moment where he had his back to goal on the right wing, and he basically flicked it over his own head and turned and ran onto it, and you know, and tried to drive across down the wing. This is a man who's, again, who's relishing taking a grip of his own destiny. And when you see him lift that trophy, and you see the final whistle goes and he collapses to the floor, and you can see this. I've done a vlog over on my YouTube channel, Mates TV. So go and check that out. But he just collapses to the floor, and then like Lallana's the first one over to him, then Milner's over to him, then Mignolet's over to him. Every single member of that squad makes a point of coming over to him, because they know how much it means to him.
How important it is, yeah.
Incredible.
I mean, that I think that one you were talking about where he knocked it over his head and ran down the line, I heard people criticising him for passing him forward,
just
which is amazing given all the stick he's got for passing it back.
Yeah, but I think credit to Tottenham Hotspur. I think you could see. I think Jurgen Klopp wanted to make this a 20-minute football match. I think he felt that if we can get it 0-0 at 70 minutes, he thought we'd kill them off with our extra legs. And you could see they started to fall
apart. There were loads of them going down, weren't they?
And we never, you know, maybe a couple of players looked tired or what have you, but you know, they were going down with cramp. We looked physically fitter. We looked superior. And I think Tottenham gave a good account of themselves. And there's those one or two moments. I think the biggest chance is actually offside, isn't it? So it's that the one, the real heart-stopping moment, which was a blessed relief that it wasn't. But yeah, I thought the fans that I saw were really good. But we were next level stuff. I think we saw from the boss night through to the fans in the ground, and the fans bouncing around. So the way the fans have conducted themselves around Madrid, I didn't see any ounce of trouble. I saw us getting on with Spurs fans at every turn. And you know, we just get to go home now.
I mean, the fans were just brilliant. Yep. Absolutely brilliant.
And we get to go
very
home
proud
now
to be part of it.
And see the parade and see
the parade. See how many of them are drunk.
Yeah, well, you know, for Jürgen as well.
To Mane or Mo Salah to drive the bus.
Well, one last thing on this for Jürgen Klopp. You know, this is his third time basking in the European Cup. It's his third European final for Liverpool.
Well, I'm just thrilled he's put to bed this. He doesn't win finals. And, yeah. You know, he's won nothing with Liverpool, even though he's been brilliant. He now has the trophy that most people want.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's it, and he's singing, you know, Let's Talk About Six and all that stuff. Look, just incredible. What a time to be a Liverpool fan. I'm not sure I've processed it all yet, and you see the photos of people kissing the European Cup, and I'm like...
The parade, when they see all the people, and probably even more so when you see it on television, because you obviously can't see all of what the parade's going to be like. Yeah. And I'm not sure there's going to be a big final point. I don't know. I haven't really looked at the route, but I don't think they're doing the George's Hall bit. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's all to come.
2 hours, 2 hours, kid, but absolutely
the papers, worth it. That's all. That's going to
well,
be
well, actually,
great.
That's a good point. Actually, where is that we've got before we go? I managed to pick up a copy of the Liverpool Echo.
In Madrid.
In Madrid. Immortals. I'm absolutely made up with that. So, listen, thank you very much for watching. And if we've managed to get this out in audio form as well, somehow, thank you very much for listening. Subscribe to theredmentv.com because there's so much amazing content coming. And go check out the vlog of me and my dad, the dad and the lad journey to Madrid and beyond over on there. Thank you very much. Right, Dad, I can't do it with one hand anymore, so can you do the spare one? There we go. 6 times. We've won it 6 times. Thank you very much. Up the Reds. See you all soon. Ta-da.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional, unprofessional. So if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.